The Story of Our Health Message, Chapter 33. We Wait for Light. The calendar announced 10 a.m., September 20th, 1906, as the opening hour for the College of Evangelists. At the appointed time, a portion of the faculty met, conducted morning devotions, and declared the school open. No assignment of lessons was made, for there were no students present. After the opening exercises, the doors were closed pending the arrival of the prospective students and other faculty members. These were times of testing the faith, not only of conference leaders, but of prospective medical students. Because of the uncertainty of the future work of the college, there was a feeling of trepidation on the part of many who had reason to fear that enrollment in this new school might lead not only to the loss of a year or more of time, but later a necessary transfer to some school of the world for the completion of their courses. However, by the 4th of October, 1906, the remainder of the faculty and about 35 students having then arrived, schoolwork began. Counsel sought. The perplexities regarding the future policy of the college, as its curriculum would affect both faculty and students, were clearly set forth by Elder Burden in a letter written to Mrs. White. He raised the questions, should they seek recognition under the laws that govern the regular schools of medicine? Should they offer a specialized course of therapy that would graduate a new class of recognized healing practitioners, such as the eclectic, the homeopath, the chiropractor, or the osteopath? Or should they be content to work as medical evangelists, with no special degree that would entitle them to practice under the laws of the state? Mrs. White had then received no instruction that would furnish the answer to these perplexing questions. No doubt the time had not come for them to be answered specifically. It was doubtless best that there should be delay, and that by further providential guidance the faith of the believers should be strengthened until they might act unitedly in such an extraordinary enterprise as the launching of a new medical college. From the first, practical field work was linked with the study program at Loma Linda. The work of Elder and Mrs. S. N. Haskell in San Bernardino has been mentioned already. After their departure, there was for a time difficulty in finding someone to lead the students in this line of endeavor. But soon Dr. Lillis Woodstar, an experienced worker in house-to-house medical missionary labor and an able lecturer, came with her family to the sanitarium. The faculty at Loma Linda arranged for her and some of the sanitarium workers to begin a class in the study of the book Ministry of Healing among the little company recently raised up by the evangelistic labors of Elder Haskell and his helpers at San Bernardino. Temperance work. Some of the non-Adventist neighbors who attended these study groups by invitation asked that similar studies might be given in their homes. Soon many family circles, with an average attendance of 12 persons, were meeting regularly for the study of healthful living, rational treatment, diet, and hygienic dress. This opened the way later for public lectures before groups of mothers, and in the public schools, and the introduction of well-prepared literature for the children. The work spread to many neighboring cities and towns, and even to Pasadena and Los Angeles, where Dr. Starr addressed a group of no less than 1,000 mothers. Noble ladies of the Women's Christian Temperance Union welcomed these efforts with great enthusiasm and helped to open many doors for the workers from Loma Linda. During a state convention of the WCTU at Redlands in the summer of 1907, 2.5 hours were granted to these workers for the presentation of health principles and demonstrations of healthful cooking. Mrs. White rejoiced greatly as she witnessed this work in behalf of Christian temperance. It reminded her of the temperance campaigns of earlier days which she had encouraged, and she took this occasion to urge that this line of work might be revived. "I am sorry," she commented, "that there has not been a more lively interest among our people of late years to magnify this branch of the Lord's work. We cannot afford to lose one opportunity to unite with the temperance work in any place. I shall urge our people, and those not of our faith, to help us in carrying forward the work of Christian temperance. I am being aroused anew on this subject." Regarding the Women's Christian Temperance Union, with which she herself had labored in hearty cooperation in former years, she said, "None who claim to have a part in the work of God should lose interest in the grand object of this organization in temperance lines." Ibid. For the second year of the school, Professor Howell having been called to mission service in Greece, Dr. G.K. Abbott served as president, a position he occupied for 3 years. The scientific department was strengthened by the addition to the faculty of Professor George McCready Price. Dr. Starr was also called to give instruction in physiology and dietetics. This gave her added opportunity to enlist a group of the students for a valuable experience in field work. A medical council. In the latter part of October, 1907, a few weeks after the opening of the second school year, there was held at Loma Linda a council attended by physicians and others interested in the medical work. The general conference was represented by the president, Elder A. G. Daniels, the vice president, Elder G. A. Irwin, and also Dr. W. A. Rubel, secretary of the medical department. Others present swelled the attendance to about 100. Among the 24 subjects listed for discussion, it is interesting to note such as medical missionary training for the foreign field, a plea for the first principles in our medical missionary work, and who should study medicine, and what counsel do they need? Speaking to those present at this important gathering, Mrs. White said of the work to be done at Loma Linda, I have been instructed that here we should have a school, conducted on the principles of the ancient schools of the prophets. It may not be carried on, in every respect, as are the schools of the world, but it is to be especially adapted for those who desire to devote their lives, not to commercial pursuits, but to unselfish service for the Master. We want a school of the highest order, a school where the Word of God will be regarded as essential, and where obedience to its teachings will be taught. For the carrying forward of such a school, we must have carefully selected educators. Our young people are not to be wholly dependent on the schools where they are told, if you wish to complete our course of instruction, you must take this study, or some other studies that perhaps would be of no practical benefit to those whose only desire is to give to the world God's message of health and peace. We should endeavor to give instruction that will prepare students quickly for service to their fellow men. We are to seek for students who will plow deep into the Word of God, and who will conform the life practice to the truths of the Word. Let the education given be such as will qualify consecrated young men and young women to go forth in harmony with the Great Commission. At the conclusion of Mrs. White's remarks, Elder J. Burden again brought to the front the problem confronting present and prospective students. He asked her directly whether the school that she had spoken of was simply to qualify nurses, or whether it should embrace also the qualification for physicians. The reply, one to be kept in the heart and pondered, was, physicians are to receive their education here, united in study and counsel. As conference officials, ministers, and physicians united in study and counsel, there was rekindled in the hearts of many the old-time enthusiasm regarding the importance of the health message and the relation of the medical missionary to the task committed to the church. In the preamble to a resolution passed by the council, Loma Linda was welcomed as a place whose special mission it was to train such as would fill the need for medical evangelists, thoroughly qualified to carry the gospel message and to minister to the sick, laboring as nurses, who through diligent study and experience, have acquired extraordinary ability. It was recognized that the maintenance of such a school was beyond the resources of the local Southern California Conference, and it was recommended that the Pacific Union Conference and the General Conference assist the Southern California Conference in bearing the expense of this school. Among other recommendations adopted were those requesting union conferences to place their medical departments on the same basis of operation as the publishing and educational departments of the General Conference, urging that competent instructors go into the churches and the field at large and teach the people these health principles, and that health leaflets be prepared for wide distribution. However, the vital question regarding the training of physicians was not embodied in the recommendations beyond a request that the General Conference Medical Department give most careful study to the question of providing for our young people the most favorable opportunities for them to secure the qualifications that they must have in order to carry forward the medical missionary work of our cause. It was impossible at this time, indeed, to secure united action in such a matter. The difficulties in the way of giving a complete medical course seemed insurmountable, and it is not strange that many were positive that it would be folly to consider such an undertaking. Some urged that an attempt be made to give a course that might be recognized as a special system of healing, such as osteopathy, or chiropractic, or homeopathy, whose graduates were permitted to practice under certain restrictions. To others it seemed more feasible to provide a limited equipment, and a small faculty sufficient to furnish 2 or 3 years of the medical course, with the hope that this might be recognized by other medical institutions where the students might go for their final degrees. And even such recognition, though hoped for, was not assured. to train physicians. A few months later, in February 1908, a local committee met in Loma Linda to consider relationships between the educational institutions in Southern California. Careful study was given to the counsel that had been given regarding the educational work at Loma Linda, and it seemed clear that while many were to be trained there in various lines of gospel and medical missionary work, some at least were to receive such a training as would enable them to stand as fully accredited physicians. It was thought that perhaps three or four physicians, some connected with the institution, others practicing in nearby cities, might give the necessary instruction. Should the Southern California Conference undertake to provide the needed laboratories and other facilities, involving an immediate outlay of between $40,000 and $50,000, some felt that they should. A letter setting forth these convictions and asking counsel was sent to Mrs. White, who promptly replied with positive caution against premature action in making such heavy investments. A few statements from her letter, dated February 20, 1908, reveal the tenor of the counsel given in reply to the inquiry. I dare not advise you in such large plans as you propose. You need to make the Lord your wisdom in these matters. I do not feel that you should plan for such large outlay of means without you have some certainty that you can meet your obligations. I would caution you against gathering a large load of indebtedness. The plans you suggest seem to be essential, but you need to assure yourselves that they can be safely carried. If you had the talent and means to carry such responsibilities, we should be glad to see your plans carry. Mrs. White's counsel. It is of interest to note that in this counsel there was nothing to indicate that there might not ultimately be developed a complete plant in connection with Loma Linda for the preparation of graduate physicians. Mrs. White had stated that physicians were to receive their education there. When such a time should come, however, it would be necessary for a united denominational endeavor. In this narration of counsel and events leading up to the final steps that resulted in the opening of the medical school, another communication from Mrs. White, sent from St. Helena, on March 24, 1908, should be included, in part. Note again the cautions against premature action and the several basic guiding principles set forth. In the work of the school, maintain simplicity. No argument is so powerful as a success founded upon simplicity. And you may have success in the education of students as medical missionaries without a medical school that can qualify physicians to compete with the physicians of the world. Let the students be given a practical education. And the less dependent you are upon worldly methods of education, the better it will be for the students. Special instruction should be given in the art of treating the sick without the use of poisonous drugs, and in harmony with the light that God has given. Students should come forth from the school without having sacrificed the principles of health reform. We should not at this time seek to compete with worldly medical schools. Should we do this, our chances of success would be small. We are not now prepared to carry out successfully the work of establishing large medical institutions of learning. Moreover, should we follow the world's methods of medical practice, exacting the large fees that worldly physicians demand for their services, we should work away from Christ's plan for our ministry to the sick. Abundant counsel from God. Reviewing the counsels that were coming to the Seventh-day Adventist Church through the spirit of prophecy during these crucial years, one is impressed with the striking emphasis not only in subject matter, but in quantity of material, upon the subjects of health reform, the purpose of sanitariums, and gospel medical evangelistic service. In 1904 appeared Testimonies for the Church, Volume 7, with sections on sanitarium work and health foods, comprising nearly one-third of the contents of the book. Early in 1905 there appeared Ministry of Healing, a book beginning with a vivid pen portrayal of Christ as the true medical missionary, and setting forth the high principles that should actuate the work of the physician, as well as the medical missionary work to be carried on by all followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. To guide the thinking of those who were perplexed and bewildered because of the widening rift between the medical workers centering in Battle Creek, Michigan, and the denominational leaders, there were included in Volume 8 of Testimonies for the Church, also appearing in 1904, many of the instructions, the warnings, and the great encouragements given during the last 15 years to the leading men in our conferences and institutions, for the benefit of all the Church. W.C. White in the preface to Testimonies for the Church, Volume 8. Many of these counsels were grouped in the section Letters to Physicians. setting forth anew and forcefully God's purpose for sanitariums, and including many earnest words of caution against the separation of medical missionary work from church organization. In 1909, during the third year of the operation of the Loma Linda College of Evangelists, the ninth volume of the Testimonies made its appearance with a strong section on the health work, with pleas for faithfulness in health reform, for medical missionary evangelists, and for the support of the Loma Linda College of Evangelists. A number of the messages of counsel addressed to Seventh-day Adventist physicians during this period and earlier are to be found in the compilation called Medical Ministry, issued in 1932. These works should be studied by those who desire to gain a fuller comprehension of the divine purpose in the health education and practice that should mark the service and lives of those called to sound a worldwide proclamation of the soon coming of Christ and the preparation needed for that event.